Someone said amen. I'm going to do just a little teaching, then we're going to get right back into worship. That okay? So go to Mark chapter 9. Actually, no, let's head over here to John 4 just real quick. This ain't even in the notes. Go to John 4, and I just want to talk about something that I believe is going to be huge. But everybody just say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Whew. I think one of the things that plagues people the most in their life, I guarantee that most of you, if you trace, because how many know depression is coming from somewhere? We often panic trying to fix our conditions, and we never take the time to trace their origins. They was given permission to operate in our lives at some point. And oftentimes, listen, offense, when you and I have the opportunity to be offended and we continue in offense, you have to know that the spirit of offense will not stop until unbelief is your reality. It teaches you. It doesn't just, most people think people who are offended are mad. They're not mad as much as they have been taught by a spirit that is against their true identity. Offense will ultimately come against God's intentions for your life. And it will keep you in a place to where you are wounded, and then you'll start attracting people of the same nature. The goal of offense is to bring us into unbelief. Because if unbelief is present in your life, I'm telling you, you will never operate in the things of God. A lot of people say things like faith is, you know, believe. If you listen to scientists especially, they'll say things like faith is just believing in bad evidence. No, Bible doesn't say that. Bible actually says faith has substance. And it is something that I believe that once we properly look at the condition of our hearts, because faith isn't just a mind thing, it's a heart thing. And when your heart and my heart is in the right place, I'm telling you, you'll start to believe differently. It will change the way your encounters go as it relates to God. Some of you have been coming to church your entire life and never encountered God. You've heard about him, you've talked about him, you've sang about him, but I'm telling you, it's something about surrendering to the Holy Spirit that starts a journey of dismantling unbelief. Y'all hear me? It dismantles unbelief. So I want to get into this real quick. Look at John 4. We're going to read here real quick. I'm not going to be long because we're going to get back to worship here in a second, but watch this. John 4, we're going to read. Pastor Tim, can you go ahead and read?
The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?"
Now, I want to bring up a point here real quick. There's not a passage in the Bible that I haven't taught on over a span of 20 years. We've touched on all these things before, but when the Spirit breathes on something, it becomes new. And this has nothing to do with anything I got here. This is something that I told Eric about 5 minutes before I got the mic, tell him to go to John 4. This is something that is amazing here, because I want you to look at this. First of all, the Samaritan people were really at odds with the Jewish people. They was kind of like what we'd consider mutts. They had some Jewishness in them, and then they had some Gentile in them. and they was not considered pure Jews to the Jews. And there was hostility there between the Samaritan people and the Jewish people, which tells me one thing particular. This is why she chose to go to the well at this time. This is the hottest part of the day, the sixth hour. And this is very important to understand. Why would she draw water at this time? Because it is inconvenient and people did not want to be there, which tells me she's doing it for a purpose. Probably, as the story goes on, we'll see why she does it, because of her history and because of the things that she does in her personal life. She does not want to be judged by these people. And so she has now changed her life. She has customized her life in such a way to where she is no longer in the same space as people that could judge her. She's willing to go get a drink at the hottest part of the day. Nobody else in their right mind is going out there, because getting a drink in that day wasn't as easy as turning on a water faucet. There was work to do. And this is important. So Jesus going through Samaria, I don't believe it's simply because it was just on the way. And Jesus going by himself to this specific well was not just because it was on the way. Jesus went there because there was a divine appointment. He was there for a reason, to talk to a woman that has lost her identity. Now, this is amazing, because we're getting ready to talk about worship, but watch how this happens here.
His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If ye knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Mm. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?"
You know, this is what I love about Jesus, is when you start to conversate with Jesus. This is why covenant is important. Why does God operate in covenants? Because covenant is a contract that keeps you in a relationship long enough for you to be able to discern one another the right way. Without a covenant, the only thing that you need to leave is an offense or a misunderstanding. With a covenant, you're obligated. This is important. If you would learn to stay in a thing long enough, what you are misunderstanding may be the life source to push you into your future. You got to remember, Jesus on earth spoke Aramaic, but the language of heaven is not Jewish, it's spirit. And so as he's talking to this woman, he's already given her spiritual food. She is missing all of it. She is missing everything he's saying. Why? Because she's driven by her natural thirst. She's driven by her natural thirst and probably does not want to talk. She's probably trying to get in and out before they get there. And here's Jesus keeping her in a... One of the things I love about Jesus is his ability to keep us in a place we don't want to be. That's something I love about Jesus, is his ability to keep me in a place that I am fighting, I'm kicking, I'm scratching, I'm doing everything I can to get out of this particular spot. And Jesus said, no, I got purpose for you there. There's something I'm trying to show you in this. You see heartache, I see purpose. You see pain, I see process. Come on, somebody. We often fight God more than we fight the devil. We spend more time arguing with God's intentions than we do the enemy. And we've got the nerve to rebuke the enemy. God, listen, man, God is the one that led Jesus in the wilderness, not the enemy. We give him way too much credit. He's a puppet. He's a puppet in the hand of the master. God uses the enemy to teach us things that we would never learn if we did not face opposition. Woo! Come on, somebody. The biggest battery in the world that charges the best thing in the world has both positive and negative operating. You, man, I'm telling you, you need opposition to become what God has called you to be. Which means that if you look at the, if you start measuring your purpose, you can only do it by counting your opposition. If there's a whole lot of stuff in your life opposing you right now, you might want to say, man, thank God, I must have a big purpose. You might want to just thank God, because God has obviously taken extreme measures to prepare you for what he's called you to do. Amen, somebody? So watch this here. This gets so good here. I love this. Are you greater than our father Jacob? It's funny that this is the well of Jacob and not the well of Israel. Isn't this funny? This is funny that they choose to keep the old name, the old nature on this particular well. Here, that name was changed to Israel. God already he already had an encounter with God and changed everything. And all of a sudden, they still calling it Jacob. That's a problem in your life if you, Jacob, the deceiver, the heel grabber. It's a problem if you keep going to the same place and you want to drink from the same deception that keeps you deceived. You're still drinking out of this well that's not giving you life and identity. It's not changing nothing in your life. You just keep drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. You're at the hottest part of the day. Everything is inconvenience, and you just keep drinking. And you go back the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and you keep living in the same cycles and the circles. And here's Jesus. She says, are you not greater than Jacob? It would have been a better argument if she would have said Israel. Jacob wrestled with God. But why? What made him let go? It wasn't pain. It was a name. Jacob didn't let go. He held on to God. He didn't let go because he was hurt. He let go because God said Israel. He was wrestling. And the match had everything to do with tell me who I am. Woo. Man, man, man. Pain ain't enough to get you out of your circumstance. Some of us live in pain. We keep going back to the same thing that's hurting us over and over and over and over. Your thirst is greater than you realize. We will endure self-torturement. We will torture ourselves season after season after season after season after season after season. And never realize what we're looking for is an identity in Christ. Whew. Isn't that something? So watch here. Watch this. Are you greater than our father Jacob?
Who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again.
See, this is the problem. We're talking about worship. I long for a revival. And can I be honest, I hate the term revival. I don't fault it like I used to, because I realize people, what they associate it with. But the term is not new covenant at all. We're supposed to drink from a well to where we never thirst again. He's getting ready to say that. Worship doesn't start, essentially, until we have truly come as sons. Not orphans, but sons. And we accept the fact that we have now drank from a well to where we never thirst again. Most revivals that I've seen over the years are typically just orphanages that are singing songs. It's all about hunger and thirsty and desperation, all the stuff that we've been cured for. The scripture says that you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be what? Hungry and thirsty, right? No, it says filled. Gee, why are you still so thirsty? Your thirst is what's killing you. The commercial said it right. Obey your thirst. That's why you're in trouble. You should obey your satisfaction. We don't need more of God. We need awareness. Amen, somebody? So this is why worship has to become, this is why we need to understand what, it's not worship if you're still just begging. It's not worship. It is a begging session with music. Now, he'll meet you. I love God, how God loves us so much. It's like Joshua. He prays a prayer. He's in a fight. Sun's going down. He don't have enough time. He says, Lord, let the sun stand still. Well, Joshua wasn't a scientist. He didn't realize that the sun don't move. It's the earth that's rotating. God bypassed his ignorance, stopped the turning of the earth to give him more time. And Joshua said, man, the sun stayed still. No, the earth quit turning. But God will bypass your ignorance to get a thing to you just because he loves you. You don't always have to pray right, but you should anticipate right. I'm trying. So listen here. So watch this. So let's continue here.
But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Man, that's good.
The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband
watch
and come
this.
Back.
Y'all, watch this. This is why you don't play with him. What did she just say? I need you to get, this is where we got to really turn on our spiritual minds. What did she just ask Jesus? We're talking about worship. You'll catch us in a minute. She says, give me this water. So he says, all right, go get your husband. He starts. You want the water? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to show you how to draw. You want the water that you'll never thirst again? I'm going to show you how to get satisfaction. But first, I got to get into your world. I got to start talking about what you're living with. You asked me for a drink. I'm getting ready to give you a drink. Come on, somebody. He's got the water, but she is going to have to become the vessel. He's got the water, but she's got to be the vessel. He said, I'll give you this. So he said, okay. He told her, go call your husband to come back. Watch what she says.
I have no husband, she replied.
See, that's the problem. This is why we do not experience the things of God the right way, because we do not recognize we are married. Our theology has crippled us. We think we get married in the great day to come. No. Peter told us we're already married. You're already married. If you're not married, why are you expecting intimacy? You shouldn't expect intimacy with the Father if you're not married. That only comes through a covenant. You want face-to-face encounters and all this sloppy agape and all the stuff that we talk about? It comes through a covenant. So watch here. Amen or oh me. Watch this. All right.
Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands. And the man you are
okay,
now
watch, have... Okay, watch. Hold up. Everybody say five. All right. Number of grace, right? Six is the number of man. Seventh is the completed work, right? Who completes the work? The husband. So watch this. Y'all ready? So watch. You've had five husbands. Ooh, boy. Watch this.
And the man you now have is not your husband.
There's six. There's man. Man is flesh. Adam is flesh. And now watch this.
What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet.
See, she's still missing it. He's not a prophet here. He's a husband. He's the seventh man. She's asking for a drink, so he has to get intimate here. You have no ability to satisfy what's going on the inside of you without intimacy. Intimacy is when you and I can come naked before the Father. Did y'all remember a year ago when I sat up here and told y'all my business, what God was doing to me? Broke down crying. That's me coming out of hiding. I'm not about to pastor a church and give you grace and I ain't got none. Leaders need it maybe more than anybody else. It's hard dealing with more than just your family. You got to help all these other people. That stuff builds up over time. Nakedness is the privilege of sonship. It's the privilege of sonship. Well, if I get naked, I don't know what I'm going to lose. Anything that you lose is a weight coming off of you. There's nothing you can lose in seeking truth that is going to hold you back from encountering him. Anything that you're holding on to is the reason why you're not becoming. You're worried about all, what are they going to say? Who cares? Who cares what they say? You're free. You're free. It doesn't matter what they say. The truth shall set you free. Any lies that you have to uphold to keep your posture or your position, is you are sacrificing your purpose. The real enemy to purpose is us getting comfortable in something that's not true about us, or something that is not supposed to be attached to us. Nakedness is the privilege of sonship. Can you say that? What's this got to do with worship? Everything. If this doesn't count, then all we're doing is singing. That's all we're doing is singing. You're a good singer. Man, we got good singers here. Hey, that doesn't mean you're a worshiper. Worshipers are different. They're different. So watch this. Look at here. Just watch this part here.
Our fathers worshiped on this
mountain. Wait a minute. Tim, wait a minute. How did we just switch to worship? This had nothing to do with worship in context of ministry. She's just going for a drink, meets this rabbi. He's asking for a drink. He starts reading her mail, and worship is the byproduct. How does it just switch to worship that quick? I've always pondered that over the years. Like, where does that come from? What? How are you just going to read my mail, talk about my husband's and the dude I'm with now, and now all of a sudden we're talking about worship? Yes, because it starts with our nakedness. The thing I love about the Father is two things right here. He read her mail and he got very personal. But the beauty of this is nobody was around but him and her. Just those two. That's because he loves her. There's a reason why he sent them to eat. She wouldn't have opened up the same way if the other people would have been there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
She's asking him for a drink. Jabez, so he gets all in her world. He starts dealing with the things she had covenant with. And then all of a sudden, look at this. Look at this passage here. Sir, the woman said, I can see
that you are a prophet.
And here's the other thing about this. Guys, I'm sorry, I can't get past it, man. There's nothing he said prophetic right now. Prophetic by nature is futuristic. He's just dealing with the past. He's a pastor. I don't know, how would you call that? A prophet, pastor, prophet. I'm making up a term. I'll make a word up, y'all. But the future, the prophetic people are dealing with the future in the New Testament. It's edifying, it's building, it's futuristic by nature. She thinks he's a prophet just because he's seen the past. The enemy could see the past. He was there. That's nothing. We have to quit being so impressed with people seeing our past. You'd be more impressed with people seeing your future. She says, sir, I can see you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Now watch this. Jesus declared,
believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know.
Right there. Isn't that crazy that we as human beings, we are created to worship? Someone said, well, I'm not a worshiper. You're worshiping something. You absolutely are created to worship. I don't know what your allegiance is to. It may be to your job, your reasoning, your thinking, your money, your security, whatever it is. You are worshiping something. You are adoring something. There's a reason why Scripture says, we sang tonight, lean not to your own understanding. You are worshiping what you lean on. You're worshiping what you think can take your weight. The thing that is so dangerous about leaning, it is proof that you trust what you're leaning on. Come on, somebody. I don't lean on anything that I don't trust can bear my weight. I don't sit on chairs that I do not trust can bear my weight. Come on, somebody. If I sit in a chair once and that thing collapses, I have history with that chair. I'm not sitting in that thing no more. But if I sit in a chair and it's held my weight, I'm not even guessing it the next time. I believe it's going to do it because it did it before. See, you build history with things you lean on. And it creates a paradigm of thinking. You lean on it. And you build history with it. That's why he said, lean not to your own understanding. Lean into your own understanding may come from pain, but it results in pride. Results in pride because then you start trying to control. See, one of the symptoms of unbelief in your heart is you controlling stuff. People that have to have their hand on everything to make it work have a problem with trusting the Lord. God told Noah to build a boat. He never put a steering wheel in it. He was very detailed. Do this, put him in there, and then where it goes is up to him. You don't get to control what God uses you to build. Where it goes is up to the current that he determines in your life. Come on, somebody. Some of us don't want to get in the boat without our ability to steer where this thing is going. Why? Because we still have trust issues. We don't really think God is for us. We have to quit thinking pain equals evil. Pain is an invitation to purpose. Pain does not mean evil. This is why we stop becoming what God has called us to be. Because he'll show us a door that we need to walk through to become. And yes, it's painful, but that's why he gives us a comforter. Yes, it's painful, but that's why David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. If you read the scripture before that, he just said, lead me in paths of righteousness. Which means that whatever valley David was in was a path of righteousness. It was a path of righteousness. It wasn't an evil valley. It was an alley that was put there by God. Woo. I'm trying, man. So listen, I keep looking at these. I ain't saying nothing on these notes. I keep looking at them. It's just, I'm like, this has nothing to do. It's distracting me. So watch this. End this and then we're standing.
You Samaritans worship what you do not know.
Yeah.
We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth.
Right there. Time is coming in now. Okay. When what though? Y'all catch this. Spirit and what? You see this? Spirit and truth. And look at what he says here.
For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks.
They're the kind of worshipers that he seeks. Those that worship in spirit and in truth. He goes on to say, God is spirit and his worshipers, look at here, must worship in spirit and in truth. Look at, let's just go down 25 so I can finish it. Just so we have all the context here. The woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, she still ain't getting it. She just, la la land. He will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, see, I told you last week, when Jesus speaks in a parable, it's an invitation for the hungry to tap into a deeper realm. If he has to come out of the parable and just tell you directly, you're losing something relationally. You understand what he's saying, but you have not learned the voice of the Spirit yet. Why does he speak in parables? So that he can teach you how to communicate outside of your present understanding. Because when he teaches you, he'll teach your heart first, your spirit man first, and then your mind catches up. But if the only time you understand a thing is when he speaks to your mind, you are not growing the way that he wants you to grow. God can only, listen, I'm telling you right now, there's conversations that Peter had with Jesus on the water. On the water. You can stay in the boat and still try to get it, but there's only certain things you're going to get about Christ in this nature once you get out onto the water. And you're going to realize it's not a water I'm stepping on, it's a word. Peter never walked on water, he walked on a word. That's why when he took his eyes off the word, he had to learn to swim. Come on. So this is a major, major, major thing, guys. I love Jesus and how he speaks to us. My heart is tonight that we, as a matter of fact, you could stand with me. The word of God, the sermon, the priest's word, isn't the highlight. It's the invitation. Invitation. We have made the sermon the pinnacle of everything in church life. This is nothing but the invitation. Everything I just said is available right now for those of you that are willing to come out of hiding. Your weaknesses do not scare him. Your struggles don't scare him. Your doubts, your fears. You say, well, you don't know what I did last night or the night before last or last week or whatever. I know it, whatever you did is nothing but a symptom of something you've been entertaining at a deeper level. God's not after that as much as he's after the root of it. He doesn't scare. He doesn't run. Only to you. Never from you. Whew. I want to do this tonight. This church isn't really designed for a major altar. We don't have too much space, but if you can, just kind of come make your way down here. Can we, Jamie, can you move this here?